Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on innovation, startups, and the future, not necessarily those and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Think Future. My name is Chris Kalaboukas, and once again, we're coming at you live from deep in the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We're talking innovation, startups, the future, not necessarily those and not necessarily in that order. If you're watching on YouTube, smack that subscribe button and hit that bell so you can be notified when a new show comes online. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast service, please subscribe or please drop a note on Apple Podcasts. I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. What are we talking about today? Oh, yes. We're just talking about the future again, because I know many of you love to talk about the future. And I mentioned this a little bit beforehand when I was talking about science fiction. And I was talking about how science fiction seems to inform a lot of people. So I was reading an article the other day where I talked about, and I talked about this in a previous show, where they're saying they were able to figure out with 90% accuracy that somebody was going to commit a crime within a particular period of time, that an individual was going to commit a crime within a certain period of time. And the article didn't mention if they'd actually waited for the person to commit a crime, but apparently this is the realities that they were able to determine. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. So could that person, that sounds a lot like the pre-crimes unit from Minority Report, right? Minority Report, they have these empaths who are able to figure out if someone's about to commit a crime. And in this case, they used an AI to figure out if somebody was about to commit a crime. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. Can we figure out if someone is going to commit a crime or where they're going to go or what's going to happen to them based on the data that they output? I mean, are humans that predictable? Now, that's an interesting question, right? I mean, based on what we do, I mean, a lot of times we are very predictable, right? Based on what we do, we like to stay in the same mode, in the same rut, in the same groove, however you want to call it. We like to do the things we've already done. And I think I mentioned this before, is that it's because a lot of us prefer autonomous processes to having to think about things, right? You have the same breakfast every morning because do you really want to think about having breakfast? Do you, you know, you have a set of outfits you wear. Do you really want to think about mixing and matching all that stuff? We like autonomous things. We like being able to create autonomous little programs running in our head to get us to just do things without having to think about it. Maybe it has something to do with our laziness. Now, I like to call it laziness, but other people call it, you know, resource preservation, right? That we have a limited amount of energy and we only want to spend our energy on certain things, right? But there's a lot of things that we have to spend our energy on that we don't really need to do, don't really want to do. We probably need to do them, but we don't really want to do them. So we try not to spend our energy on them and automate those things in our brain as much as humanly possible, right? But what I was mentioning the other day was that science fiction author Philip K. Dick created the concept of Minority Report, and I forget, we can remember it for you wholesale or something like that. I forget the name of the original story that he wrote. And wouldn't it be interesting if the guy who invented this AI that was able to figure out if people are going to commit a crime was actually inspired by that story? And that's what I said in my last video. But then I thought to myself, it's not just science fiction authors, right? It's everyone. It's everyone. If any of us think about the future and we envision something in the future or something that can be created, something that there's a possibility of it to be created in the future, when we envision that thing, we create that thing. The actual idea of that thing that we created is brought into being into this world, even if it's just an idea. We've brought it into being into this world as an idea. And if you believe in quantum mechanics, and quantum entanglement. You've probably heard this before, is that isn't it funny that a lot of times when you come up with an idea, you hear about other people coming up with a very similar idea right about the same time, but if you don't execute on that idea, then that other person ends up profiting from the idea. So I think what's happening is this. Now here's my supposition, is that when you come up with a concept, let's say you're trying to, let's say there's some particular problem that's bothering you, right? So you invent a solution for this problem. You invent a solution for this problem because a set of circumstances have driven you in a particular direction and this problem has appeared in front of you. And if you are creative and inventive, which I believe most human beings are, if you are creative and inventive, you have probably figured out a solution for the problem, right? And what I think to myself is that there's 8 billion people on the planet. Of those 8 billion other people on the planet, there's probably a certain small percentage of people who are in the exact same situation as you. They might not be in the same country. They might not be paying the same things. They might be doing the same things. But they're having a similar issue to you. The thing that you're envisioning, the solution to the problem that you've envisioned, is probably being envisioned by lots of other people at the exact same time. Now, some people have already envisioned it in the past and maybe tried to do something about it, but not enough people were interested in it then and it failed. Or some people are in the process of envisioning it right now and don't really want to do anything about it because their time is already tied up. And then there's a small percentage of people who are envisioning this solution right now at the same time as you and are entrepreneurial enough to want to go ahead and create the product that comes out of this idea. If you are the one to execute on this idea, then you are the first one to bring this into being. You have literally created the future. And in envisioning the idea, you have created the future for that idea to become reality. It's like I was saying, Philip K. Dick invented the concept of pre-crime. And somebody later on actually executed and developed something very similar to pre-crime. So that's what I'm saying, is that thinking about the future creates the future. Anything that you envision now that could be created will be created. This is what I like to say. I like to say, we know everything that is possible. In my mind, everything is possible. Technically, almost everything is possible. As long as it's physically possible, it's possible. We just don't know when it's going to happen. It's like being a meteorologist. You know it's going to rain, but you don't know exactly when. So that's what it's like, not just to be a futurist, but that's what it's like to be a product manager, a product developer, anybody who's trying to develop something new, create something new, solve a product in a new way. I mean product, solve a problem in a new way. All of us are creating the future as we envision the future. And some of us move forward to executing on that future, to actually creating the future. And if we don't create the future, someone else will create the future for us. That's why it's important to, if you have developed something, envisioned a problem, a solution to a problem that has enough. You see, there are plenty of solutions to problems that aren't actually profitable. See, that's the thing, is that there's plenty of ideas that are created that are great ideas. They solve problems, but they're not financially viable. You cannot turn them into a business. People will not pay that much or whatever they need to pay to solve that problem. And that's one of the reasons why many of these startups fail, is that you could be envisioning something from the future that is solving a huge problem, but still, people are okay with that problem. Maybe they're okay not having to pay to solve that problem. Okay, so, but that's the other trick, is that not only do you have to envision the solution to the problem, you have to envision a solution that people are willing to pay for. In some cases, and in a lot of cases, these businesses don't necessarily go anywhere because there's no way to envision how you can make money off of it. That's why it's so important to build something and get it out in the world so you can have the market test it. Because a lot of times you have no idea if people will pay you for something. And that's what's so beautiful about an MVP. But I'm digressing. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that when you envision the future, you create the future. And when you execute the future, you're building the future. And isn't that the most amazing thing that you can do? Build the future. That's it for me for today. See you next time. And until then, don't forget to think future.